I like it. Amen. Couldn't help but think of one of my favorite Old Testament books, Song of Solomon. I'm his and he's mine. Amen. And I couldn't get to him, but he sure came to me. And to know that I belong to him this evening. I hope you know him this evening. And the world needs to see that in us, that we belong to him. I don't like this world. I really don't. I just get a longing. Just go home. I'm reminded that if the Lord was to come back today, there'd be a lot of folks that I say I love would not go. I guess that's one of the things that sort of keep me grounded in the fact that, you know, just keep being busy. The sun hadn't gone down yet. But one of these days, and I was telling somebody this morning, I was listening to some things on the radio driving around this week, and I didn't catch the name. This guy was blind, and they were talking with him. He's wrote a lot of songs. I wasn't familiar with him. And he got to talking about this, and we don't think about this. He said, "I've never seen one sunrise. I've never seen one sunset." He says, "But the very first thing I will ever see will be the face of the Lord."
Amen.
I thought, you know, we feel sorry for people that's blind. I ain't so sure that's not a bad thing. Can you imagine? It'd be tough to physically, but for the very first time to ever see anything, to see him. I cannot imagine. All right. Proverbs chapter 7 this evening. We're going to run through some verses in chapter 7, jump into chapter 8, and I'm sure we're not going to go as far as I'd like to tonight, but we'll go as far as the Lord leads. I enjoy preaching, I do. But I was telling one of these young preachers that we've had with us over the last little bit, I told him it seems like the older I'm getting, the more I enjoy just verse by verse studying of the Bible. I believe we one of our greatest failures in our churches is we've not trained people how to study their Bibles. We've not trained them what to believe as far as, you know, to get it out of the Bible. And I believe that's one of the importance. And again, I love preaching. I do. Camp meeting's coming up. Amen. Back to Beth will be here in just a few weeks. And I was over at the hospital this afternoon talking to Miss Boyd and Patrick. And Miss Boyd was at the very first Back to Bethel meeting. There's been some what I call heavy hitters preached across that platform over the years. How many years is that? 50? What did they say? Or is it 60? I forgot now. But they just, that's been, I enjoy that kind of preaching. If you ain't careful, sometimes it's sort of like a sugar rush. You get in there, whoo, shout her out, but when you hit the workplace on Monday morning, I need something besides sugar. I need something that's going to sustain. And that's the reason I love just being around the studying of the Word of God. So let's look at a few verses tonight. Proverbs chapter 7, if you can, we'd invite you to stand this evening out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. If you remember, it's been a couple weeks since we've been here. We had two lessons out of chapter 7. Let me read the very first part as again, we're given this from the Lord. Verse 1 says, "My son," and again, I love saying that. I love hearing that. I was thinking the other day, it's not going to be too many years, and many of you have been there. You've had to do this already. If not, you will, if the Lord doesn't come back. I don't know why I do this, but I just think this way. I know that it's not going to be too many more years if the Lord doesn't come back. I'm going to have to bury my daddy. And that's going to be tough because daddy's that one that when I don't know how to fix something, hey, daddy. And over the years, Daddy's given me a lot of advice on practical things. And I'm going to miss that one of these days. But I'm glad tonight as we open up the Bible that my Heavenly Father looks at you and I and says, my son.
Amen.
He desires to encourage us. He desires to teach us the right ways and what to do's and not to do's and why we do. And he says, my son, and this is the key, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Why? Verse 5, that they may keep thee. That's the reason, as I tried to say this morning, my heart is so broken. Maybe it's not as broken as it ought to be, I don't know, but it's broken. Over watching the condition of churches, not just ours, but others. As I watch people that I can just see the devil dragging them. They've bit into the bait, and you can watch them, they don't love their Bible, they don't love the church, they don't love the things of God like they used to. And you can see it from where I stand and watch them. But if we'll keep his word, if we'll make it the apple of your eye, he says there in verse 5 that they'll keep thee from the strange woman. And then we began looking at this strange woman through chapter 7. We've seen her before. And all this strange woman's desire is just as the devil. This strange woman desires to steal and to kill and destroy. And this strange woman, I believe, is a harlot in this scenario. I believe there are those women. I've seen them in the churches. I've seen them, and this is not women, it's men too, in the sexual realm. But I believe it's also anything that gets our attention away from God. It be a golf club or a deer stand or whatever it is, it might get your attention. I love the singing. I was thinking as they were singing, you know, we're blessed to have the talent here. That we have. Brother Poplin done a wonderful job this morning, and all the ones that sing, our choir, I believe our young folks, we've got so much talent. And I hope you don't get mad when I say things like this, but it bothers me that someone would drive 100 miles to go hear somebody sing a song and won't drive 10 minutes to hear preaching. It does. It bothers me because I know there's something wrong with that. God chose the foolishness of preaching. It's not foolish preachers. It's just the thought that God would use a man to stand up and cry aloud. And then this strange woman, again, as we looked at her, as she attacks this, verse 7 says, and behold, a young among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Hey, you know, that strange woman's looking at us tonight. That old devil is like a what? Roaring lion. Who's that lion going to go after?
The weak ones.
If you're strong in the Word of God, if you're strong, I'm not saying you can sit back and say, I've got this thing conquered. The old devil's going to go after somebody that's silly, plays games. And so with this strange woman, we see who she's after. And then drop down real quickly. We won't look at all this right at the moment, but verse 21, we see the catch. With her much fair speech, she caused him, notice the wording, to yield. Whatever you yield your body, your soul, your spirit to, that's who you'll serve. Here this young, simple man yields himself to this strange woman. Tonight, what have we yielded ourselves to? She calls him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. Forced him. That's pretty strong wording, isn't it? Not with a ball bat, not with a gun. James talks about this evilness of a tongue. It's of hellfire. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. He don't even know he's dead yet. What do they call it? In a dead man walking in the prison. Somebody's got the death sentence on them. That's a dead man walking. I've shot deer before. I'll just be honest how I am. Preacher, I'm tired of standing. I stand the whole time. I've shot deer before and they run. I said, he's dead and don't even know it. So that's what's wrong with a lot of people today is, and I'm not saying they're saved, but they're hooked and don't even know it. They don't even know the devil's just tinkering with them. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down, notice again, many wounded, yea, many strong men. Notice again, started out with a simple young man. Now we see the notches on her gun. She's destroyed many a strong men. Have been slain by her. Verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And then instantly, chapter 8, we have a turning. Verse number 1 says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places by the way of the place of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired or not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in an evil way, and the forward of the mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and on those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of passive judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit. God, thank you, Lord, for the thoughts of just seeing you. God, we sure have seen you through this book. God, is maybe not as clear sometimes as we'd like. I think about the Song of Solomon, how she saw you through the gates. And God, I know many times we've seen you slipping through. And God, we just desire to see more of you. And God, I know one of these days, and I don't believe she's going to be long, God, we're going to see you face to face. Lord, I thank you for that promise. And Lord, tonight I'm glad I can say as they sung, I'm yours and you're mine. God, help us tonight as we try this study together. God, help us to realize there is an enemy tonight. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's just this world. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us to hear the cry of wisdom. And Lord, listen and heed that call. And we'll praise you for what you do here in this place. For it's in your precious name we do pray, we do ask. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, we saw there that this young man has yielded himself unto that. And we see how that leads to that death. And again, it breaks my heart to understand that so many. And again, I don't know what it is. I don't know why we would draw ourselves away. If God is the God that we spoke of this morning, and He is all that and more, why would we ever desire anything else? This old flesh is always what it is. It's always lusting after something else and desiring something else. And I just pray as we try our best to learn and to teach the Word of God that we'll desire it more and more. I want to back up just a moment because I want to throw this out there. Do you remember, as we look back in chapter 7,
Let me find it real quickly. There it is. Verse number. Let's listen to what she's done here to this young man just a minute. She says, "I have peace offerings with me this day." This is verse 14. "Have I paid my vows again?" This isn't just a harlot standing on the side of the road. This is a woman right out of the church house. She's paid her vows. She's bragging on that fact as she's enticing this young man. Then it says, "Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us so lace ourselves with loves." And again, there's only one true love, and that's God. He is love. And tonight, if we'll just get to that love, you won't desire anything else. And then I mentioned this last week, but I do want to show this real quickly. I'm not going to dig in very deep here. I believe there's something here. Is this strange woman, notice what she says, verse number 19. "For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey." And I can't help as I think about, and again, this is a strange woman. This is a harlot that is speaking of, you know, her husband is away. And when he's away, she's going to play. But I believe this evening that I can draw a little bit of that attention tonight to us as a church. The good man has gone on a long journey. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for you and I. Are we playing the harlot? Or are we faithful to the good man? Can you see that? This is what this strange woman says. The good man, verse 19 again, is not at home. Tonight, God is not standing before us. He is here, though. He's not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. And there is an appointed day that the Lord will come again. Well, he found us. We find us faithful to him. Or have we played the harlot? If I love another more than I love him, my love should just be to him. Just something to think about, something to see. So we see this strange woman. We've watched as she's flattered her body. We saw how she was dressed. We saw how she talked there in the middle part of chapter 7. And then again, verse chapter 8, we find instantly after this, we find the truth again of what we began in chapter 7. As we find the need of the Word of God, we find with this strange woman as she appeals to this young man, God reminds us in chapter 8, verse number 1, "Doth not wisdom cry?" The whole time this young man is being seduced, the whole time this strange woman is begging and trying to elude him or drag him away from where he should be, "Did not wisdom cry?" Of course it does. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Remember I told you the message there of things that are stronger than the Word of God. We all know it's wrong to commit adultery. We all know that God says that we should or should not do some things. But what is our choice? Just because God said don't do that, it doesn't mean that we don't do that. Why? Because people do those things. But the whole time, God is faithful. God is crying out with the wisdom that He's given. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God is constantly, again, as we see this young man taken by this strange woman, God says, "Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice?" You know, I know, I shouldn't do whatever it is I did. There's something inside of me that's crying out, "You know better." That is that wisdom. That is that knowledge. That is that Spirit of God at work. Verse 2 says, she standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. Where was that woman at? Out of her house. In the twilights. The wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, standeth in high places, crying aloud. Where? In the ways of the places of the past. She crieth, verse 3, at the gate, at the entering of the city, at the coming at the doors. Verse 4, unto you. That wisdom, that knowledge of God that Proverbs is what we're studying, that wisdom and knowledge is crying out continually as we go in and out of the gates. To who? To each one of us. Verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Verse 5, notice the tying of verse 5 to chapter 7. Who was chapter 7? Verse 7. And beheld among the, notice, the simple. Who's God say he's crying out? Aren't you glad tonight? when I worked at Freightliner, I had a boss one time when I was an engineer. He went, I don't even remember where he went to school yet. My school and his school apparently didn't meet the same credentials. He didn't think I deserved to be what I was. He thought unless you went to one of the elite schools that you couldn't have that job. And he treated me that way. I was all right. I got paid the same. I care less what he thought. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Aren't you glad that you don't have to hit a certain place that until God says, okay, you're worthy of me talking to you? Look at him, verse number 5. He says, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of understanding heart. God is crying out to all that you could hear and understand and heed the call. Verse 6 and 7, notice here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Boy, that sure is real opposite of that strange woman, wasn't it? You remember how she spoke? Look over there. Verse 7 says, she's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She is without, now in the streets, and lieth await everyone. She has caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. Remember that impudent face we've talked about? She's not shamed. She's proud and arrogant. She speaks loud and boastfully. Notice the speak of truth, the speaking of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 7 says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The word of God will always be what? Truth. And that's one of the problems that I'm seeing in our day is man is trying to draw the line where man wants it to be. But God's already laid the lines. Just because you don't believe it's right or wrong. I was listening, thinking about some things this afternoon, and I got to think about that message I heard about things that are stronger than the Word of God. It's a shame that in our day that the churches have made decisions that we believe this is right and this is wrong when God says it's this wrong. Did you see where the LGBT is pushing for pedophiles to have rights? My son says, that'll never happen. I said, it will. They have a right to be a pedophile. You think, oh no, that'll never happen. Sure it will. But I'm glad this evening we see that opposite here of that strange woman and this truth of the wisdom of God. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth. Aren't you glad it's all of them? I can run from Genesis to Revelations, and they're all true. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing forward or perverse in them. Remember that strange woman flattering with her lips?
deceiving with her lips, forcing with her lips. His words are truth. And you know what they do? What did a strange woman do? Now, I know this is really far-fetched, but what was the intention of the strange woman? To get that young man. Do you think if that strange woman would have walked up to that young man and says, "You're ugly, you're fat, you're stupid," do you think that would have appealed to him? No. It's the old thoughts of you can get more flies with honey. I'm glad I'm not looking for flies. You know what God does, though? He does the polar opposite. He shoots straight. He tells me exactly what I am. Does it hurt? Sure, it hurts. But it's what I need to keep me from that strange woman. Verse 9, they are plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Verse 10, receive my instruction. See, that's the problem tonight, that many of us, we miss that. God gives the instruction. God speaks the instruction. God cries out the instruction. But will you receive it? For you that has handed out gospel tracts, you know how it is. Can I give you one of these? I don't want one of them. What about us tonight as so-called children of God? When God speaks, oh, no, no, don't want that, God. God says you should receive His Word. Verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may desire are not to be compared, to it. How bad do you want the truth? I've seen men that I used to listen to, men that I used to think was strong in the things of God. You know what they did? They sold out. If you'll start preaching out of this NIV, you'll get more preaching engagements. You know what they did? Changed their Bibles. If you won't be so strong on that truth there, you'll get more preaching meetings. You know what they did? They changed their stand on what they said they believed. You better choose the Word of God. You better choose truth. And that's what he's saying. Verse 12, I, wisdom. Again, who is that? It's the Lord. And we're going to see that. Boy, we won't get there tonight. If you'll read the rest of chapter 8 into chapter 9, what a great picture of the deity of Christ. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty invention. You know, tonight, have you ever been shocked at how out of nowhere you knew something? Speaking of the Bible, how God will put a verse in your mind. Can I say only God can do that? God will give you something you don't think you got. And that's what he's saying there. God will give us that wisdom and knowledge that's beyond ourselves. Verse 13 this evening, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And again, I believe that's one of our problems today is, well, preacher, you don't want people to get mad. Or preacher, you better fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you're going to hate evil. We need to draw a line. That's one of the things, and I don't remember who was on the bus, I think, Miss Rosa was on the bus, Brother Jerry, had a little youngin' in VBS. She gave a fifth the night before, and the next night she wouldn't get off the bus. And I told her, I said, honey, we're taking you home. Oh, I don't want to go. I said, you're going home. You better do what you say you're going to do. Yeah. Them youngins will figure you out. I have learned some things over the years. I didn't know so much when my kids were growing up, but I've learned some things. Kids figure you out pretty quick. Now, I told you one time,
If you do it again, I'm going to get you. Five times down the road, that young is like, you ain't going to do nothing to me. And they know that. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the forwardeth mouth do I hate. What does flesh do? What does flesh love? Darkness. This world. God can change a person. And only God can take what we used to love and make us hate it. Do you hate the things of this world? I don't believe we hate it as much as God hates it. We tolerate way too much. God doesn't tolerate. God says, I hate. And we looked at that. I'm getting ready to show you one that's really going to blow your mind. Verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. That's what he is. He has strength. He has wisdom. Then we go to verse 16, the power of God. God says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rules and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. God puts it in there. God sets it up. God takes it down. And then here comes one that most of you is going to say, I don't believe that. And you've got to be real careful when I say this because I want to make sure you understand it. How many of you have ever heard God loves everybody? Is that true? That's the answer. Yes and no. Now, it's just sort of like the Trinity. I can't understand all of it, but I know it's true. Notice what verse 17 says about it. He says, I love them that love me. We saw two or three times now what God hates, things and people that God hates. But as much as he hates it, the instant they trust Christ, he loves them. So it's very hard in our minds and our thoughts to get a hold of that. But that's what he says, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Not only do we see the fact that he loves them that love him, but he also tells the truth. Those that seek me shall find me. I wonder how much we're seeking him. If you desire to see him, you know what? You'll see him. But if you're not seeking him, you'll not find him. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Why would you want the trash of the world when you can have the fruit of God? Notice he says there about what he has. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. Notice the last part of verse 19, and my revenue than choice silver. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Durable riches and righteousness. I have nothing else in this world that will be true. God's riches have never decreased. And honestly, they've never increased. They're always the same. Now, I've increased because of knowledge, knowing more of what God is. My bank account, it's up and down. My 401k, it's mainly down. But what God gives me is better than anything this world has. It's far better. And then verse 20 and 21 will be done this evening. He says, I lead
in the way of righteousness. Where did that woman lead? To destruction. Her way is what? Look at it. Down to hell. But God's truth, God's righteousness, God's knowledge, God's wisdom leads in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit, and there it is, substance, and I will fill their treasure.
The strange woman, she came to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. God in His wisdom cries out that we can have substance and our treasures can be full. This woman in chapter 7, she finds this young man. He yields to her. She has her way with him. And she leaves him laying in the ditch. The Lord takes this simple man, fills him with the wisdom and knowledge of God, increases his knowledge and his wisdom, and it's better than gold. And he just continually gets better and better. So which one do you want? That's the choice. Chapter 7, chapter 8. I think I'll choose chapter 8. All right, let's stand together this evening.